You need not turn to it, but listen to me as I read to you the progression of man's downward trend as we approach the end of the age. Now listen carefully. Because that when they knew not God, this is found in Romans 1:21, because when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's the first step. Do not glorify God and do not have thanks to God. Second step. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Third step. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, those are the first three steps. What? First, we don't give God the glory nor thanks. Second, we become vain in our imaginations. Third, we go to school, read a few books, and think we're smart. Get a degree, and we think we're smart. A few people call us intellectual, and we become wise in our own conceits. But the Bible says we become fools. All right, first step, not glorifying God, not thanking God. Step number two, becoming vain in imaginations and foolish heart darkened. Step number three, acquiring an accumulation of facts that makes us worship the mind. Let me tell you something tonight. If you ever say, well, I just can't see a God who would, and so forth and so on, you're an idolater. You're an idolater. A person who builds his own image of God in his mind has built an idol, just like the Hottentot who builds an idol out of wood. Next step. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God unto an image made like unto corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Then that's false religion. Next step. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's the next step. As soon as you get to the place where you think you're smart without God and you can reason your own way or philosophy about God, who God is, and so forth, then the next step, you worship the creature. Why? You've got to worship the creature if you think you can figure out who God is. If you draw up in your own mind your own concept of God, you're putting yourself before God, you're worshiping your own mind in the place of God, and the next thing is we worship the creature, the body. The body worship. And we're right there tonight. Sex. Body worship. Nudity. Free love. Body worship. That's the next step. What's the next one? For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now you listen to me. When a nation gets to a place where nudity is prevalent, what else is it to look for then? One reason God intends for folks to wear clothes is because the unknown gives you added property to explore. Now, don't snicker when I say that. But I'm saying we get the place, we strip off our clothes, then nudity becomes commonplace, and then man begins to search for something else other than the natural man-woman relationship. What does it turn to? First, it turns perversion. Sex perversion. Unnatural acts. Then he runs the course. Where does he turn to then? He turns to women committing sex with women and men committing sex with men. Now that is the lowest you can get. What's the order? First, not glorifying God as God. Second, becoming foolish in your own, in your heart darkened. Third, becoming wise in your own conceits. Going to university. I'm not against going to university. Let me tell you something. If you went to university and you got a degree and you think you're better than Grandpa that didn't go past the fifth grade, you're an idiot. I mean, there's nothing in this world any more sickening than for one hunk of flesh to think he is a scholar and another hunk of flesh is a fool. You're just a hunk of flesh worth $1.98 chemically, a sinner that ought to go to hell like I should. If you're fortunate enough to have trusted Jesus, you're saved by his grace. There's not one good thing in this world, not any of us. Not a good thing. There's none that doeth good. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Throat is an open sepulcher. And on the Bible goes to tell us there is not one good thing about any of us. For one of us to set himself up above the rest of us as being a scholar or an expert or a particular sphere or caste system, it's heathen, it's paganism, and it's a result of turning from God. And as soon as you do that, you become wise in your own conceits, you think you're smart, you have your degree, you've been to college, university, and you have a degree, and you think you're above the common man, and the next step is you begin to worship the mind, and the next step you worship the body, and the next step you go into a body sin, and the last step is the step that Sodom and Gomorrah had made when God said, I'll rain down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And let me tell you something, and you hear me well. There are two or three people who wear breeches and have short hair and would be called men who sit in this room tonight who have said, who are homosexuals, and I know it, and who have said, well, don't let Brother Howe's preaching upset you. God wouldn't have made us this way if he hadn't intended for us to love men to love men. Oh, you pagan heathen, you, God didn't make you that way. Don't you blame God on your sin. Don't you blame God on your rejection of God's word. You will burn in hell forever and ever and ever unless you get born again and get delivered of that wicked, evil sin. It's not sickness, it's sin. It's not illness, it's wickedness. It's not normal, it's pagan, it's iniquity. God hates it. God goes so far as to condemn the souls of every person who's a homosexual to everlasting torment. Check your Bible. And that's the last place. Now then, one of the great signs of the end time is the fact that the unisex is sweeping this country. Dr. Joyce Brothers said, quote, the melting together of the sexes is upon us. Dr. Ralph Greenson of the Gender Identity Clinic's fame calls it the sexual thinness. Vance Packard calls it a sexual wilderness in our country. Herbert Marcuse calls it sexual desublimation. In the Barton Junior College in Kansas, enrollment cards were filled out, and the question was asked on the enrollment card, are you male or female? 2% wrote undecided. Last year, in a Northeastern university, a 240-pound football player was named the Winter Carnival Queen. Judith Anderson is playing Hamlet. Mia Farrow plays Peter Fonda's brother in Some Like It Hot. Olivia Hussey has played Romeo, and a lot of other Husseys have been playing those parts too. There's a TV show called My Brother the Bride. If you haven't got enough decency to turn that thing off, sell your television set. Better still, break it in pieces. The Odd Couple. And some of you watch that kind of garbage. And some of you men and women, let your children watch it. You turn homosexuality and pagan unisex on in your living room or den. And say to your children, watch it! You're asking for heartbreak as sure as I'm behind this pulpit. A book has been written by Patricia Sexton called The Feminized Male. Half of America's guns are owned by women. Holbrook, Long Island has a fire girl in the fire department. Culver Military Academy is now coeducational. There are now girls in the Boy Scouts. On the board of the YMCA, there are 4 women on the YMCA board. One sociologist has said, and I quote, by the year 2000, father will do the dishes and wash the diapers while mom washes the car and mows the lawn. Along with this trend is the trend of naming boys and girls the same names. Now, I don't mean to be unkind.
But if you're going to name a girl Jack, put an I-E on it and make it Jackie. Or Jacqueline. We take a little child, take a boy when he's born, let him grow hair and look like a girl. Now, I'm going to make somebody mad here. We name him Francis. And one of the best friends I have in this world is named Francis. But we name him Francis. Or name the girl a boy's name. And I know I'm going to make somebody mad. I do not know of a person in our church named Francis. So if you're named Francis and you're a man, I do not know it. But I still believe what I'm preaching. And we curl his hair and put what we call them diaper shirts. They're no more than dresses on them. And then we wonder why they turn out sissy. Brother, when a boy gets home in the hospital, put him in blue jeans. And cut his hair! If you don't, he's going to grow up and look like some of you Samsons sitting here in the room tonight. Some of you Absaloms. At the Manson trial, the defendants chanted, "The judge is a woman! The judge is a woman!" I'm saying tonight, we are facing a concentrated effort in this nation to try to de-emphasize the difference between the sexes. Now listen to me. You say, "Brother House, are you opposed to..." I'll answer this way. I am opposed to anything in the world that de-emphasizes the line of difference between the sexes. Now, you can just name anything you want to name. I believe that ladies ought to be feminine and sweet and lovely and charming. And men ought to be strong and masculine and decisive. And I'm opposed to anything that makes a woman and a man act alike, look alike, dress alike, talk alike. You males. I don't have to describe you. I want to say men, that's not right. I want to say males, that's not right. But you, whatever you are, you things that you put M under sex, you're male, and you talk like a lady. I'm against it. I'm against it. Now, what is the devil using? What is the devil using? In the first place, he's using clothes. Now, fasten your safety belts because you are in for a rocky ride for the next 15 minutes. Now, if you want to vote me out of this church when I get through, you just go right ahead. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And some of you pant-wearing ladies, I hope God will get you so under conviction tonight, you'll hit the mourner's bench before you go home. Amen. Let me tell you something. You ladies that wear your britches, don't you laugh at me while I'm preaching the Bible to you. My Bible says the woman shall not wear that that pertains to a man. And this britches-wearing heathen generation, you pant-wearing ladies, have fallen prey to the unisex philosophy, and you are a part of the unisex movement. And I'm going to prove it to you. No, you won't believe it because you want to go on and be a part of it. You don't want to be different. You're not willing to buck the trend. Well, you're hearing one preacher tonight that is just very happy to buck the trends if he loses his job because of it. I started 27, 28 years ago preaching what I believe, and I preach the same thing tonight. You get my sermons and you listen to them. I preach the same thing tonight. I preached 28 years ago, and 27 years ago, and 26 years ago, and 25, and 24, and 23, and 22, and 21, and 20, and 19, and 18, and 17, and 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I preached against ladies wearing britches 28 years ago, and every year since then, and I'm not going to stop it because you can't find a skirt in department store anymore. It's time some of you deacons' wives look like ladies instead of men. It's time some of you deacons yanked it up and said, "Put the skirt on and take those britches off." It's time some of you Sunday school teachers that teach classes in our church look like ladies and not men. I'm saying this. The devil is trying to break down the barrier between the sexes. And when you do anything to aid it, you're a part of his work. You said, "Brother Hiles, I heard you on the radio. I didn't expect this." You come on the radio saying, "And a happy hello to all of our friends in Radio Land. It's a great joy to meet you this morning. Maybe the burden is heavy and the load is light. We come with on the broadcast, with the broadcast, not with a kick in the pants, but with a pat on the back. That's the broadcast, honey. In the pulpit, it's the kick in the pants and not the pat on the back. You see? I mean the back patting's on Monday morning and the pant kicking is on Sunday night. The devil is using clothing. Now, whether you believe it or not, the book of Deuteronomy is in the Bible. And chapter 22, verse 5 says, it is wrong for a woman to wear that which pertaineth to a... Oh, but you say, Brother Hyatt, in those days, the men wore long flowing garments. I don't care what they wore, there was a difference between them. Well, you say, Brother Hyatt, what should we do? I mean, it's up to the man to decide what he wears. And it's up to the man to tell the lady what she wears, not like what he wears. Well, you say, my husband's not going to do that. You Jezebel. I am. Amen. I'm simply saying, listen, tell me why it is that the unisex movement and the paint movement have been growing along the same ratio in our country. That's exactly why. Because the pant suit movement and the pant wearing movement in this nation is a part, as sure as I'm an inch high, it is a part of the devil's desire and the devil's efforts to make one sex in this nation. Fabian Bowers in Saturday Review, January 9, 1971, said this. In Manhattan, there's a shop called His and Hers, or Two of a Kind, boasting a stock of clothing wearable by either sex, including pantyhose. Did you know in the city of Hammond, in shopping centers in Hammond, you can buy pantyhose for men? I'm sorry, for males? I'm sorry, for its? The city of Hammond. Well, now hold it. Hold it. Tell me a scripture that says it's wrong for a man to wear pantyhose. How many think it's wrong? Raise your hand. I do. How many? Way up high. Way up high. Way up high. Come on. Way up high. All right. Tell me why. Tell me why. Tell me a scripture that says it's wrong for a man to wear pantyhose. I see. Then it's wrong because that's ladies' clothing. Is that right? All right. The same philosophy will change your pants to skirts. If it's all right for a woman to wear breeches, it's all right for a man to wear pantyhose. The only scripture in the Bible. Don't you snicker while I'm preaching. I'll come back there and make you wish you had never heard me preach before. Amen. The only scriptural reason in the Bible that a man shouldn't wear pantyhose is that it's woman's clothing and a man's not supposed to wear woman's clothing. But I say again, if you ladies can wear your slacks and if you teenagers can wear your slacks, it's okay for men to wear pantyhose. Same philosophy, same logic. You cannot be logical and refute that statement. Let's go a step further. In Manhattan, a boutique named A Man and a Woman offered multisexual clothes. Designer Bill Blass is trying to get away from the unisex connotation by referring to his fashions as dress-alike. Sir Rudy, too, euphemistically ascribes, quote, the couple look to his and hers cowboy hats. Betsy Bliss in the Chicago Daily News, February 3rd, 1968, wrote, perhaps those look-alike fashions simply show that we're all, get this, puppets of designers, and that's what most of you ladies are tonight, who want us to look like their roommates. But it may be that, in fact, the sexes are switching roles. The woman getting too aggressive and the man becoming milk-sop weaklings. Montgomery Ward's in Munster is selling, pardon the word, but I'm going to say it, panties for men. Oh, you're shocked. Show me a scriptural reason why it's wrong. There's not one scriptural reason why that's wrong unless that's woman's clothing. Then using the same logic, your slacks are wrong. Now you listen to me. There are people in this room tonight who love Brother Hiles, and you're for me, and you're glad I'm here, and you pray for me, and you love me, and you thank God for me. But you take lightly this thing that you let your daughters. Your daughters come and see me, and they talk to me. And in fact, every case where you have taught your daughters not to agree with me on this subject, the daughter has gotten rebellious and won't agree with me on other subjects too, because you've taught your daughter not to obey the preaching of the preacher. Every troublemaking girl that I talk to that has been expelled from our school or gets in trouble, in almost every case, one or the other parent has said, "I just don't think Brother Hiles is God." Well, may I ask you a question, sweetheart? Who does? But he is the man about whom Hebrews chapter 13 says, "Obey those that have rule over you in the Lord."
Amen.
And you'll be a lot better off to tell your girl she can't wear her slacks because the preacher says it's wrong. By the way, it won't hurt her not to wear them. I have here an advertisement for a unisex clothing store. Has a male and a female, I guess. Says, "Hey, baby, the big news is happening Tuesday. Experiment 1 sets up shop on Lex and 57th. And the clothing, same clothing for men or male and female. There's an article in today's paper right here in the Parade magazine today called Rock Cosmetics. Rock stars exercise a great influence on their followers. For example, once the Beatles grew long hair, by the way, that's where the long hair fad started, was the Beatles. And I'll go into that after a while. In September, when the Rolling Stones appeared on American TV, Mick Jagger introduced a new cosmetic look for young males. He wore heavy blue eyeshadow, bright red fingernail polish, and purple lipstick. Hold it now. If it's okay for ladies to wear slacks, it's okay for men to wear lipstick. You say, "Won't you get off that?" I don't aim to get off that for about 10 more minutes. Show me a scripture that says it's wrong for a man to wear lipstick. Show me a scripture. Not one. Not one. Show me a scripture says it's wrong for a man to wear eyeshadow. Not one. Unless it is a woman's regalia. Now, if it is all right for ladies to wear men's clothing, it is all right for a lady for men to wear ladies' clothing. And it is just as right for us to, and I came awful close to doing this tonight. I came awful close to putting skirts on every one of these fellows on the platform. If I could have found dresses big enough, I'd have done it. But there was not any size 34 dress and 63 waist for Brother Sully. But now you hear me. A man has as much right to wear a skirt down the street as a woman does to wear pants. Sit still. And you ladies, now you know when I see you on the street and you're wearing pants, you know I treat you courteously. You know. And I'm never personally unkind to anybody who dresses contrary to the way I preach. But I'll say this much. You're going to face God for being a part of the unisex movement just as much as a man that wears makeup, a man that wears eyeshadow. Let's go a step further. Several months ago, how many Rolling Stone fans will make up a La Mick in the months to come is difficult to tell. Jagger and his wife, Bianca, believe in unisex makeup. Several months ago, she prevailed upon Gucci. That's his first name is Gucci also. It's Gucci. The Italian leather maker to come up with a walking cane for both males and females. She carries it with her wherever she goes. And in Europe, it's catching on. The girl said offers a measure of protection. Now, I'm simply saying, here's a picture of a male and a female right here, and you can't tell which is which. Now, hold it. A man wears eyeshadow and lipstick and makeup, and from here up, you can't tell which is which. Let me ask you a question. Is it any worse not to tell which is which from here up than it is not to tell which is which from here down? I mean, after all, who has a right to say which end has to be different? Who has a right to say from here up, you can't be alike? But from the waist down, you can... Hey, listen, you, honestly, you know it's the truth. You walk down the street, you walk behind a couple, and honestly, you'll have a tough time knowing which is which these days. Couples getting married, and the preacher pronounced them husband and wife and said, would one of you please kiss the bride? In less than, well, in the Calumet region, on Burnham Street, right over here in Calumet City, there is a unisex store. What's it called? Adam and Eve. Right over here on Burnham Street in Calumet City, in our area, a unisex store where the male and the female buys the same type garment, right here in this area. Tracing the history, Agnes DeMille put such fashion shifts in a new perspective. She notes, listen, that in 1890 was the first time girls, even infants, dressed like boys in pants or loose, sexless garments. The bare-legged, sacked look of the 20s marked the first time adult women emulated their daughters who emulated boys. Today, she adds, mothers continue to work their way steadily back toward babyhood, trying on the looks of the baby doll, little soldier doll, little boy doll. Let me stop and say a word about that. I don't mind your boys having little soldiers to play with. Don't give your boy a doll to play with. Simultaneously, she says, the teenage boy, source of all this feminine emulation, was revolting against his father in the strongest way he can find to express disapproval, unmasculinity. Ornamented in fancy, the young men have now seen to dress as young women, masquerading as boys. Now, that's not a Christian person saying that. That is the world saying that the dressing alike is a part of the unisex. Some of you mothers right now are saying, well, I just don't see it, and my daughter will keep wearing her slacks in public. Yeah, I know, and you got a daughter some trouble too. And 9 times out of 10, she's in trouble about something else. Girls come to my office in deep trouble. And practically everyone who comes in deep trouble has been told by mother and dad, or mother or dad, or both, well, that Brother Hiles isn't God. You don't have to do everything Brother Hiles says. There's a girl in this room tonight, who is in deep trouble. I mean, she's been kicked out of school. She's in deep trouble. I've tried to help the girl and many others. But this girl was told by her mother, when she told me this, and mother, if you're here, I love you, but I'm going to try to help you again. If you get mad because I love you enough to have enough courage to take a chance on making you my enemy in an effort to help you. She told me that her mother told her, there's a mixed bathing pool over here not far away. Why don't you go swimming? And the girl said, mother, you know that I can't do that. Brother Hiles doesn't approve of that. Mixed swimming. And the mother encouraged her to do so. Now, mothers and fathers, you listen to me. You're not going to go home and break down everything I preach behind this pulpit and keep your kids out of trouble. Now, you're not going to do it. There is a reason why kids get in trouble. You ought to go home and you ought to build up what I say. I'm trying to save your kids. You ought to build me up in their minds. Dr. Ralph Grenson told the American Medical Association, by the way, he's a clinical professor of psychiatry at UCLA School of Medicine. He said, I believe one of the reasons that young males and females wear their hair alike and dress alike stems from their fear of the opposite sex. Long-haired girls and boys seek a twin, not a sweetheart or a lover. They're only secure with someone who resembles themselves, he says. It's not a fundamentalist preacher. It's a UCLA psychiatrist who says that the reason boys and girls dress alike is because they're afraid not to dress alike. Now, let's say it again. It's time that some of you Christians dress like fundamentalists. In fashions, men's magazines, and clothing, trade journals, Herald men's miniskirts. Can you feature it? Can you feature Jim Vineyard in a miniskirt? That set burlesque back two generations. You know it? Get this now. Harem lounging pajamas. Did you know that there are lingerie shops for men where men can buy silk and satin and lace gowns and pajamas? No talking, kids! Yeah, you're horrified, aren't you, while you wear your britches to the store tomorrow morning? Men's magazines and clothing trade journals herald men's miniskirts, harem lounging pajamas, earrings, and necklaces. One manufacturer is showing men's shifts. He calls them night games. The colors, psychedelic prints, are soft pinks. Can you imagine Sully in a pink shift? They'd roll him to a certain section of St. Margaret's Hospital. Fashion designers admit they're using ladies wearing men clothing and men wearing ladies clothing as a part of the trend to make America one sex. You haven't got enough sense to know it. Now you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that God wants there to be a difference between the sexes. And I'm saying that in our generation, whatever men have worn, ladies ought to keep off, and whatever ladies have worn, men ought to keep off. You know, I think I'll just go ahead and get real nasty mean. I detest these lace shirts on men. I had to have a formal for a wedding, and I went over to a formal shop, and they brought me a shirt that had lace right down the middle. Right down here. I'm in ruffles. And they said, what size? And I said, no size of that. And they said, this is the latest thing. I said, that's one of the reasons I don't want it. Amen. Listen, now you forgive me, and don't get mad at me, because everybody here, most all you boys have worn these fluffy, lacy kind of sissy stuff. I'd wear a t-shirt with a tuxedo before I'd wear one of those things. Well, you say, why? That's why. You may not like me, and you may not agree with me, but you're going to have to admit one thing. For 14 years and 3 months, there's been a man behind this pulpit. Amen. I mean, at least, I may be mean and stubborn, and I may be a bigoted, and I may be tilted, and I may be right-wing. In fact, I plead guilty happily to all those things. But there's one thing you've had for 14 years, brother. You've had a fellow whose tail you couldn't twist. Amen. And this country is in dire need of men. Amen. In dire need of men. Now, you put ruffles on a boy, long hair on him, makeup on his face, and then you come to the preacher 15 years later and say, I don't know what's happened to my boy. Nothing happened to him. He never had a boy. You had a little girl. There has been to my office, there have been young people come in my office, at least that many, and adults also, who have had surgery and who have taken hormone shots. Males growing feminine bodies, bosoms, by hormone shots, have grown up right here in this church in some of the finest families we have. Now, ladies, honestly, you're not... This morning, I was talking about those kids that got in a fight out in Denver. One little kid got knocked down 7 times, and I stood there and watched it. And he said, Mister, don't stop the fight. Don't stop the fight, because I'm going to get up and beat the fire out of him in a minute. And I let him fight. And some of you ladies, gasp in horror. One of the finest things that could have happened to your big 18-year-old punk would have been when he was about 8 or 9 years old for somebody to have beat the living fire out of him. You don't like that? You have no choice. Well, when I was a kid, if I didn't have a fight before I got home from school, it was an unsuccessful day. Now, I'm not suggesting boys go out looking for fights, but I'll tell you another thing, too. I'm not suggesting any boy run from one, either.
Amen.
I don't believe anybody ought to be a big bully and go around picking fights. I don't think you ought to want to fight. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't think a boy ought to open his purse and get scented Kleenex out to cry because they're afraid of the big bully in the school. And in most of the cases here, you fellows whose wives wear these slacks, it's very appropriate because she wears the other pants in the family too. Men! That's the need of this nation. Which leads me to the second point, and that is, it is considered by experts that long hair is nothing more than a part of the unisex movement. In Manhattan, there is a barber shop with a placard on the window that says, "For men and women, unisex haircuts." In this area, we have barbershops that are unisex barbershops. What are those young men with long hair really saying? Marshall McLuhan asked theoretically. In what may seem a ludicrous overstatement, they are sending a clear message to all who will listen. We are no longer afraid to display what you may call feminine. We are willing to reveal that we have feelings and weaknesses. Well, somebody says, how about Jesus? He had long hair. Oh, you've got to be kidding.
Amen.
You've got to be kidding. Well, you see all the pictures I've seen of him, he had long hair. What kind of Kodak was that taken, or camera was that taken with? Or was that an Eastman or a Kodak? You know where we got those pictures from, some sissy artist who had long hair. If I drew a picture of Jesus, he'd be balding. Charlie Bell drew a picture of Jesus, he wouldn't have a hair on his head. Some sissy, long-haired, effeminate homosexual decided to draw a picture of Jesus and put him with long hair. Brother, you do not think for a single minute that our Lord would go against the Word of God when it says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, 1 Corinthians 11:14. Well, how about the Nazarite? Did the Nazarite have long hair? No, Nazarite shaved his head. And he wouldn't let it, sometimes for a few weeks he wouldn't let his hair grow, but you can let a bald head. Brother Bell, you let your hair grow for several months and see how long it gets. Did you know that false religion, usually is built upon a breakdown of the sexes? The Greek Hermaphroditus was divided at the waist, top half female, lower half male, and both were worshipped. Heathen religions often worship a half male, half female, split vertically down the middle. One side with a breast, woman's breast, and the other side with a man's body. In Asia, men hold hands. Why? Because pagan religion is in Asia. In Russia, godless Russia, men kiss each other on the mouth. Woo! Boy. I'd go to the electric chair first. Entertainment. Unisex specials. Kink's latest hit, Girls Will Be Boys and Boys Will Be Girls. Or the Beatles record, Girl, You've Been a Naughty Boy. You Let Your Knickers Down. you shaggy-haired males. I love you. But you shaggy-haired males, maybe you don't know it, but you are falling right into the hands of the unisex crowd. You are pleasing this crowd that's trying to make one sex. The causes, these doubts and queries have been reflected for many months in the modest fashioned entertainments of our time. Today, many young male film stars are really prettier than their female co-stars. I was watching a basketball game the other day on television, just a little bit of it, and the announcer came on. Man, I wanted to wink at him. He was a doll. You men that cover up your ears with your hair, and it curls gently around, only your body, only your beautician knows. Now, I know. Ladies, look, if your boy don't want to show his ears, cut him off. Paul Jones, who portrayed the tortured young singing idol in the recent film satire of pop culture, Privilege, actually looked lovelier at times than his film mistress, the famous model Jean Shrimpton. Paul McCartney, the choir boy of the Beatles, has soft eyes, a full mouth, and a page boy look. And by the way, a lot of this stuff started with little old Twiggy, who came out as the idol of the females with a physique that make Wilt Chamberlain jealous. It's all a part. Look, if you don't want to go to Indianapolis, why don't you stay off Interstate 65? If you don't want to go to Munster, what do you want to travel too much down Calumet Street for? And if you're against the unisex and against the homosexual trend in our country, why don't you quit participating in the things that the devil is using? You high school girls, you ought to go home tonight, take every pair of slacks you've got, and destroy them. And a lot of them would if you mothers would keep your noses out of their business in that respect. And you ladies ought to go home tonight. You females ought to go home tonight. You know what many of you do? If you were to tear up all your britches, you'd have to wear a barrel to the store to get something else to wear. And the way you look in your britches, a barrel would fit you perfectly, too. There's not a man in this room tonight who wonders why it's wrong for a woman to wear slacks. Unless he thinks it's okay to examine a woman like you would a pig at a county fair. Now, you know it's true. Time you ladies decide to dress like ladies when you go into the bank or the grocery store. But you say, Brother Hiles, it's cold. It's no colder than it was in 1935. Now listen to me. There are people in this room who the first time you ever saw a female in slacks, you were shocked. I haven't changed. You have. You wouldn't want me to change, would you? You don't want me to compromise. You want me to preach my convictions, right? All right. Then what do you want to change for? I can tell you right now, some girls in this church that are not ever going to be feminine enough to offer a boy love and tenderness. And one of the main reasons is you women. Now, I love you, and God knows I do, and I'm not trying to, I'll make you mad, but it won't be because I don't love you. In fact, I'm preaching like this because I love you. We need, listen, I want these girls in our church, I want them to be as soft and as sweet as lace. I want them to be as precious and as feminine. You know what? We ought to have more girls at this meeting on Thursday night to learn how to be gracious and feminine than we have at any other activity apart from soul winning in this church. And you mothers ought to insist that your daughters get up here and let someone teach them how to walk and sit. I go to Hammond Baptist High School sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, though the skirts are long enough, you can see as much when a girl sits down as you can see on a miniskirted gal. Why? They've not been taught how to sit. Now let me tell you something. Tell you one reason why I'm against a girl wearing, a female wearing slacks. Now you watch me. A female in slacks can sit like this. It is. Listen, this pant-wearing crowd is sapping the femininity of our girls. And that's why when they put a skirt on, they show half their body and show their thighs. They don't know how to sit because they wear pants half the time. I'm saying go home and burn your britches. Yeah. You say, Brother Hiles, I'll just pack up and go somewhere where a preacher doesn't preach like this. Well, good. It'll save us borrowing $2.75 million. Now, I'm simply saying this. You can do it, but whatever you do, you can walk out that door mad, but you know tonight that the unisex crowd is pleased with your trousers. Last time we had an old-fashioned altar call about women wearing breeches, just like we do about drinking and smoking and gambling and everything else. You say, Brother Hiles, I don't agree with you on this. What should I do? Trust me. Let me ask you a question. Is it a sin not to wear breeches? Huh? Then you can't go wrong, can you? Brother Ward Wayne, unless you and I disagree on something. Come here. Let's disagree on men wearing makeup. I think it's okay for a man to wear makeup. What do you think?
I think it's terrible.
Well, that's okay. I think it's okay.
I think it's terrible.
But we just don't agree, do we?
No.
All right, let me ask you this question then. What's the safest route to take? Mine or his? Okay? We know it's not wrong for a man not to wear makeup, don't we? Huh? All right, then the safest route to take is for a man not to wear makeup, even though it may not be wrong for a man to wear makeup. If we disagree, the safest route is not to do it. Thank you. And you will never be sorry as long as you live if you will try to rear your daughters to be little ladies. They teach over here in this class on Thursday night. They said on Thursday night, bring a copy of an encyclopedia with you. You think they study that encyclopedia? No, they put that thing on their heads. And the girls learned how to walk like a girl. Any boy can walk 3 steps without dropping it is not right with God. But a girl ought to know how to walk. Like a girl. I get tired of girls running out here. And then they say, come on, you guys. It so happened that females aren't guys. And while I'm at it, let me just pay my respect to the women's liberation movement. I think everybody in it is right. They're not women, they ought to be liberated. I think it's right. They're not Miss or Mister, they're just... And I'll be honest with you, that gal that's in charge of it, I've seen her on television, and she is a muzz. She's not a Mrs. or a Miss, and she's not a Mr. She's somewhere in between. You girls ought not to use language like boys. You ought not to say it better than the girls. Come on, you guys. You're playing right into the unisex crowd. And then you fellas, for Pete's sake, or any of Harry's sake, Joe's sake, anybody's sake, if you walk like this, you know what I'd do if I were you? I'd go down to some Texas ranch, and I'd get me the wildest Brahma bull they've got, and I'd ride him. You say, I might get thrown off. That's exactly what I had in mind. You say, he might stick his horn right through my gizzard. You got my second idea, too. And I'd come back a man. And I'd rather my boy have a steer's horn through his gizzard and bury him tomorrow and have him press across the platform like Miss America. We have some young men coming to my study now, and I thank God for them. Try and let me help them. I've got them walking. I'm teaching grown men how to walk. Grown men. A fellow walked in the other day, and he's here tonight. I don't mean to be unkind to him, but this is the way he walked in. And I'm teaching him how to walk. I'm teaching him that a man doesn't lean back. A man bounces when he walks. Brings off his feet when you walk. Man's going somewhere. He's heading somewhere. Now teach them how to do it. I wouldn't have to if you moms would teach them when they're kids. Cut their hair. Take your makeup off their face. Take your dress off their body. Put some blue jeans on them. Get them in a fight every once in a while. Make boys out of them. I won't have to try to correct them when they grow up. God bless these poor fellas. Victims of circumstances.